You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Well, this expose in Vanity Fair shows Dr. Fauci and his acolytes once again trying to suppress and trying to block any scientists who disagree with them. This is more like what you'd see from a mafia don than from a government bureaucrat or scientist. If you disagree with them, they come down on you hard and they try to suppress anybody with a different opinion. It happened to three famous epidemiologists from Stanford, Harvard, and Oxford. Now this is a scientist as well that they say, let's do everything we can to try to suppress his opinion.
So he sleeps with the fishes. As the mafiosa would take care of him. That is Senator Rand Paul talking about a recent article in Vanity Fair claiming that Dr. Fauci and his colleagues often used heavy-handed tactics to shut down anyone disagreeing or even questioning what they were doing, their motives, their actions, their plans. For that, you sleep with the fishes. August 23rd, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com right now. Enter in the search engine, just one word, Larry Connors, USA. This name is so easy to remember, Larry Connors, USA. Push that. It'll take you to our Rumble page. Then you'll see where you can push and enter the studio live. Glad to have you if you join us. If not, of course, remember every Rumble and every program is later put up as a podcast, all available through LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or the Larry Connors USA Facebook, or Larry Connors USA at Rumble. See, very easy. Easy to find us. So Senator Rand Paul, we're going to focus more time on, as Dr. Fauci tries to do his swan song for all the stuff he caused, the chaos, the confusion, the flip-flopping. He just simply wants to walk away here in December. He was originally going to retire at the end of Biden's term. Maybe he knows something that's going to happen after the November midterm elections that we have not been told. I'm just asking. But either way, he says, I'm done in December. Adios. And he'll go right into the arms of Big Pharma and make multi-millions of dollars. He's already getting a substantial amount of money from the government itself. But we'll be looking at that in more detail. And James Carafano from the Heritage Foundation will join us, talking about Biden's views of everything from China to climate change are doing, guess what? Guess what? They're improving U.S. interest. Liar, liar, pants on fire, Larry. That's not at all what Carafano says. He says Biden is doing everything on those areas and more that are harming all U.S. interests. We're going to be joined by John Lott, Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He says New York City is defying the SCOTUS gun laws that they recently passed. They just don't care. New York City just doesn't care. They will do gun laws the damn well way they want to, period. And, of course, they continue to scramble with dealing with illegals being bused from Texas to New York City. They might have 8,000 now, maybe 8. Now, you know, 8,000 minimum cross any border check cross point down along the Rio Grande on any given day within 2 hours. So they don't really have that big of an issue, but it's delivered now to their doorstep. And they said, well, we're doing the best we can. We're going to accommodate. They're going to accommodate by renting out luxury hotel rooms. That's what they're going to do. D.C. Mayor Bowser says, I need the National Guard to help deal with all of these. All of these illegals coming here. And the National Guard says, no, they're not trained to do help and care like that. So we're not sending them. Interesting, she now wants the National Guard when Trump offered them in advance of January 6th. Now she wants them. But on top of that, both these mayors in the Northeast, blue mayors, blue states, suddenly recognize this sanctuary policy only works if you put them in someone else's home. I don't see Bowser or Eric Adams opening up their governor mansions or mayoral mansions and allowing immigrants to camp there, house them. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your friends, your family, even your enemies know we're on the air. There is no other program like this one. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning. You're sneezing. It's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I was just as shocked as most people were. If you read in the book, I talk about how we went to Washington. We were going to try to, implement policies on trade and on cutting taxes and on trying to solve some of the wars and create peace, which we ended up doing. And I write about that. But the relentless attack against Trump really started during the campaign. I mean, the FBI was spying on his campaign, and then, we spent 2 years having to disprove that we were colluding with Russia. And then after we finally proved that we were, clear on that one, then they tried to impeach him over trying to investigate corruption in Ukraine. And so, unfortunately, we've lost a lot of faith in the fairness of the judicial system, and it seems like they keep trying to find more and more things to go after Trump on. And so he was a businessman. He was a great businessman. He wasn't a career politician beforehand. And it just seems like what they keep doing is breaking norms in their attempt to try to get him.
And that's a fact, Jack. That's Jared Kushner, son-in-law to President Trump, former President Trump, just out with a book called Breaking History. And everything he defined was exactly true. Trump is not a politician, never was, never really wanted to be. He liked to kind of be the kingmaker and the money supplier behind various politicians. And yes, for a period of time, just like Reagan, Trump was a Democrat. But then he realized this party is lost, does not know where it's going. And so he switched. And then, of course, he got into the Republican primary. One of, 17 candidates at that time? Going against, obviously, who was going to be anointed by the state-controlled media, Hillary Clinton. He said, I can do a better job than she can, but of course he had to prove himself against all the other Republican candidates, solid candidates, so solid that Trump was not my first, second, or third choice. But he ends up winning the primary, and then in turn, he wins against Hillary. And the attacks started the very night that he accepted the win. He said, let's now put all this behind us and let's try to build and move forward. They pulled out their knives and any other weapon they had handy and went after him, his family, and everybody on a consistent, constant basis. And they've yet to relent. There was no honeymoon for Donald Trump in the beginning. Every incoming president normally gets a honeymoon from the media, even as mainstream as they have been at various times. But, of course, look what's happened over the last several years. Ever since Obama got in. Oh, he had a honeymoon, believe me. His honeymoon lasted 8 years. And I still personally blame Obama for a lot of divisiveness that exists. You may disagree. That's fine. But Trump himself said, you guys, pointing to Obama, Hillary, and the rest of the Democrat power brokers and makers, said, you guys created me. Now that you cannot really deny. No one like Trump would have risen to the top if Obama had done his job right. But from the beginning, he was divisive on race basis. Michelle Obama saying, I've never been so proud of America until now. I've never been proud of America until now. Now she's first lady. And then, of course, he also did his apologetic tour, going to all the nations, apologizing for whatever the U.S. has done wrong. And obviously, we were guilty of everything everyone wants to level against us. And we are systemically racist. And yet, how many continue to try to sneak into this country, into a systemically racist country, especially that group of Haitians about a year ago? Why would they try to come into a country that's systemically racist? And then, of course, we had the beer summit. Remember when Obama called out the police officer who was stopping a professor from entering his own home? He was fumbling around the keys. The officer apparently didn't know he lived there. I don't know the full details beyond that, but he thought maybe the guy was trying to burglarize it, so he went up to check on him and set off all kinds of firestorm, to the extent that even Obama commented from the White House that, you know, that officer needs some new training. Well, he didn't know the facts either, but he didn't care. Is a white officer a black man entering his home, and immediately had to be a racial issue, not a crime prevention issue of what the officer perceived to be. So Obama has both of them come to the White House for the beer summit. Remember that? They sit down in the Rose Garden, have a beer, and everything supposedly be good, right? No. It was all a facade. And the attacks continued, constantly pitting black versus white. Black versus basically any group that included other minorities, Asians, Latinos, until suddenly they realized, you know, that we may have to get control and get more Latinos in here, but Obama was not going to really want to open up the border. He was still stopping them when they came across, putting them in, quote, what were they called then, comfort housing? No, they were the same facilities that Trump used later, but when Trump was using them, they were called cages. Well, he had them in the same cages. But even he had said, we are a nation of immigrants, but we're also a nation of laws. He did acknowledge that. And then when Obama wins the second time, I clearly stated on this program, if you were listening that far back, this is his opportunity to be a statesman, to draw us back together again. The divisiveness that he had created, bring us back together. When he was elected the first time, I didn't vote for him, but I thought, okay, this could be good for the country. I was wrong. I was wrong. And when I thought he could be a statesman the second 4 years, I was wrong again. He looked for more ways to divide us. And then Hillary's already disappointed because she was not anointed as she expected in that election with Obama because he came and stole it from her in her mind. She doesn't think she should have lost that election. But then when Trump came on the scene, oh, she was convinced, this guy I will put 6 feet under the ground. Not so much. So since that time, we've had this FBI raid on Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. Unprecedented. Even the judge who issued the search warrant argued that, yes, it's unprecedented, and the search affidavit needs to be unsealed, citing intense public and historical interest. He's given the Justice Department until tomorrow noon to give him the affidavit that how they want it to be treated and redact what they think is necessary to prevent any more information coming out they don't want to come out, leading to political other investigations or whatever. And he may choose to make additional redactions. So Jared Kushner was asked basically, what do you expect to come out of this hearing tomorrow when the judge finally gets the Justice Department and what it says here, we can present this part of our warrant as unsealed?
I think transparency will be the friend of the process. And, you know, one of the things I find very funny is a big issue that I championed that President Trump was able to get done was criminal justice reform. And what's happening now is a lot of the people on the hard right who are against it are now saying, wait, there are overzealous prosecutors who are too powerful. And then people on the left who are always calling for fairness are now saying the prosecution should go with no holds barred. So I guess, you know, I think on my third day in Washington, I learned that hypocrisy was something that you can't really be bothered by. But it seems to, you know, be in high degree right now.
He said it took the third day for him to realize that hypocrisy is that real. and then he says that I expect transparency to be the winner of the day. I think he's playing with this because he knows they're not going to be transparent, but he's trying to show the good guy. This is the guy that was able to bridge the gulf between the Arab Emirates states and Israel with the Abraham Accord to kind of bring them together, bring peace to the Middle East. Intelligent guy. Jewish, son-in-law of the president. But then Steve Doocy on Fox Friends had a question for Kushner.
The New York Times has got the item today from Maggie Haberman and some of the other reporters that apparently there were 300 classified documents at Mar-a-Lago over the last year or so. And they, you know, they think they've gotten them all by now. Why would the former president have that many classified things at Mar-a-Lago?
So I'm not familiar with what exactly the contents were. But what I'll just say from my personal experience is that in the transition, we had a very innocent meeting with the Russian ambassador. And then, you know, 4 months later, you're reading that the intel agencies are leaking to the Washington Post that we requested this secret back channel. And then the New York Times and CNN go crazy for a weekend accusing us of treason. And then it turns out such a thing never really happened. And so, you know, I just think you have to be very careful with what you read and obviously just wait for the facts to develop. But, I mean, there's been so many things that have been hyperventilated about over the last years that turn out to be nothing.
Yeah, but all they need is to start the fire and stand back and let state-controlled media fan the flames. That's what they've been doing. We have some very big political races underway today. The final primary day of August for key election contests in Florida, New York, and Oklahoma. Big one, of course, Florida. The biggest matchup, the top of the ticket. They're trying to pick a Democrat nominee to run and defeat Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, a potential presidential contender in 2024. They've got three candidates in the Democrat primary facing off each other. But they have all taken on the same cry of any enemy of DeSantis and what he's done in Florida. Here's Ron DeSantis.
They attack me for every decision I made, keeping the state open, keeping businesses afloat, protecting people's rights, making sure kids could be in school in person, making sure people didn't lose their jobs based on a shot mandate. And so had they had their way, Florida would not be flying high. Florida would be in the doldrums. And so these are important races, important election, and we're going to really, really work hard over the next 80 days.
Yeah, it's that close. Of these three Democrat contenders, one is a former governor, Christo. He's running, Christ, I should say. And then also Nikki Fried, governor, the agriculture commissioner. She's also running, trying to become the Democrat nominee to run against DeSantis. And she's already said if he stays, the state of Florida will suffer.
We're going to talk about democracy and freedom. Because as our governor continues to talk about freedom, he's taking away a woman's right to choose. He's taking away freedom of speech. He's taking away our opportunities to teach in our classrooms. That is not freedom. That's oppression. And I know that we are going to see in November, we're going to see the tyranny and the tyrant of Ron DeSantis.
Well, you say it's freedom, but she says it's oppression, Governor.
Yeah, you know, Steve, you talk to Floridians who've been here for a long time, people that have just come over the last few years. The reason why they're doing that, the reason why they're happy with Florida, is because we've protected their freedoms. We stood in the way of lockdowners like Nikki Fried, who opposed every decision I made to protect people's rights.
Yep, and they have. And, of course, the most precious thing you have would be your children. And Governor DeSantis has said, we have made ourselves very clear on protecting your children.
And when she says you don't have freedom of speech in the classroom, understand what she means. She wants to use our schools to indoctrinate students into her ideology. And our position on schools is that the purpose of the school system is to educate kids, not to indoctrinate kids. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we oppose things like critical race theory in our K through 12 schools. We want to teach accurate history. We want to teach American civics. And we want to make sure that parents have confidence that sending their kids to school, the school's going to be focused on the core academic subjects and not try to inject left-wing ideology into the curriculum.
Perfect. Coming up, TikTok has a new election center that is a massive threat to national security. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So we're moving into, as I pointed out earlier, we've got primaries today in Florida and Texas, Oklahoma, Florida and Oklahoma and New York. I said Texas, I didn't mean that one. But we're coming up on the midterms themselves. We've already been told by the major, and I would also add state-controlled tech giants, Google, Facebook, so forth, that they're going to be helping you with this election and watching for false advertising about politicians, and they're going to basically make sure things are done right. What they mean by right, I'll leave that to your interpretation. They've got their own interpretation. But I want to share this with you from The Federalist, written by Emily Jasinski. She's a culture editor and also the host of Federalist Radio Hour. She's talking about how TikTok has a new election center that could be considered a massive threat to national security. A massive threat. And she points out that we forfeited this much control to a hostile foreign power is one of the most mind-boggling, slow-motion political blunders in modern history. See, TikTok, keep in mind, is controlled by the communist Chinese. ByteDance, which actually runs TikTok, is required to give China access to data upon request because ByteDance is a parent company of TikTok. And China could exercise enormous control over our midterm elections. And we're not talking about getting inside the ballot box specifically, but gearing up to redirect people and their thoughts or silence them. According to TikTok, this new election center will, quote, connect people who engage with election content to authoritative information and sources. Well, it's kind of like Dr. Fake. I will tell you what's science. You just listen to me. I know. We're going to get into him more in the next hour. So this means that when users select their state and click register to vote, TikTok can now cross-reference their location and interest in voting with their age, political leanings, and other attributes that might come from this trove of data. Mostly the younger generation is using it. And I don't mean just younger than me. I'm talking about those in college and below. But there are some those in the 30s and 40s. They like to put up cute little things, and they're funny. But they don't know what's at the core of TikTok is communist China. Kristen Harris with the Center for Humane Technology had said that with this app data, China can look at all the voting districts in the swing states, basically look at people's sentiments with artificial intelligence, calculating what their opinions will be in all the key voting states. He said that means China can strategically upregulate everyone who starts to say, you know, China's really not that bad. And then he added, if China were to invade Taiwan tomorrow, they could upregulate all American voices who say that Taiwan was always a part of China. He said, that's hypothetical, but certainly possible. And there's no guarantee China will not utilize any of this information now or in the future, weaponize it. There's no guarantee whatsoever. We already have the big tech companies in America having it, trying to tell us what our duty is, and they'll help maintain proper public discourse. Now China wants to get involved, and by China, I mean the communists, make no mistake about it. They've already linked up with a taxpayer-funded government group, Federal Voting Assistance, to help them make sure their service members, eligible family members, and overseas are aware of their right to vote, have the tools to do so. On one hand, that sounds good, but it means, again, you're giving all of this to the communist Chinese. Forbes reported 300 current employees at TikTok and its parent company previously worked for Chinese state media publications. That's really all you should know or need to know. Coming up, James Carafano on what Biden is doing is hurting the U.S. in so many ways.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Some car dealers might try to take advantage of you. One quick way to spot it, look at the sticker price. Jay Ackerman told me, especially in these times, he wants to reward the generations of buyers and the new customers. So Ackerman Toyota sells every car at sticker price. No markup. What you see is what you pay. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We are seeing various actions taken by the Biden administration reference China and, of course, thereby Taiwan. We've also seen various aspects of what Biden administration wants to do and has already been doing, reference world climate change. You want a real perspective on what this means to the U.S.? Here's James J. Carafano with the Federalist. With the Heritage Foundation. Thanks, James. Glad to have you on board, sir.
I love the Federalist.
Well, you publish in so many different places, it's hard to keep up with you, believe me. But
I know.
But you point out in a recent article, this one you did for Fox News, that China could lock the U.S. out of Asia if they take Taiwan. Let's break that down to begin with.
Sure. And, you know, if you think back to World War II history, and if you don't believe me, I wrote a book on World War II history. It's called Brutal War. And it was actually about the campaign in Papua New Guinea, but it was exactly about this kind of stuff. If you look where the Japanese were taking these islands that we see in these, you know, old World War II movies, and what does an island give you? Well, an island in the Pacific Ocean is essentially an aircraft carrier that doesn't move.
Yeah.
And if it has an airfield and fuel, it essentially is an aircraft carrier, and you control all the air and surface and subsurface space out of the range that aircraft could go. So if you link enough of those together, you basically have a fleet of unmovable aircraft carriers. And if the islands are in the right place, they're strategically significant.
And China's been building its own islands right out of the sea.
And they've been building them in something called the South China Sea. And there's a reason for that. If you connect those little dots with Taiwan, then what you have is called the first island chain. And Taiwan is maybe the most important island in the first island chain. Because if you control the first island chain, basically you control everything that can move north and south by air, on the surface or under the surface. And you basically control access to Asia.
And let's point out that these islands, they are being weaponized already. They've been putting bases and military equipment on them.
Right. And so if Taiwan is like the last, is like the big link in the chain, if China controls Taiwan, essentially they control access to Asia. It's not about chips. It's not about democracy. It's about geography.
So what is Biden doing wrong about it? I mean, what's he supposed to do, say, don't build in the China Sea? He already told Nancy Pelosi, supposedly, don't go to China, but she did. And then later said, I won't go if we can blame it on Biden me not going. Go ahead.
Well, look, I mean, here's how bad it is, right? The United States won't even agree with the Taiwanese on what the Taiwanese need to defend themselves and sell them. This isn't even like Ukraine where we're giving or lending equipment.
Yeah.
The Taiwanese want to buy the equipment to defend themselves, and Biden won't even sell it. And for the same reason that he's still reluctant to arm Ukrainians is because, well, we don't want to antagonize the enemy. You know, this is like, you know, it's like to tell, you know, we're not gonna put napkins on the table because we would antagonize Hannibal Lecter. You know, this is nonsense.
James, that's a hell of an analogy. I will say this.
No, but this is...
When you look at the billions of dollars of military equipment we left behind in Afghanistan, I think we supplied weapons to the Taliban and terrorist groups just by leaving it there.
Right. Actually, up until last week, and they may still be for all I know, was negotiating giving the Taliban $7 billion in cash. $14 billion. So... These guys are really good at enabling our enemies.
You know, I'm glad you pointed that out. I'm glad you pointed. I don't think a lot of folks caught that. Would you repeat it again about how much money this government gave the Taliban in addition to leaving all the weapons behind for them?
So the estimates are we left behind about $7 billion worth of equipment. So we also control about $7 billion in Afghan assets from the Afghan bank. So the administration was actively negotiating about returning that money to Taliban. So basically handing over $14 billion. And actually just last week, the administration proudly announced a grant of $30 million to help out with Afghan women and gender issues in Afghanistan.
Oh, that'd
now,
go well. Yeah.
We have no footprint in Afghanistan. So that means we're going to write a check to some international agency. They're going to dump that money in the country. It's a black hole. Even they don't know where it's going to go. So we're spending $30 million for something that we have no idea what the money's going for, who's controlling it. And the belief that somehow that money's not going to wind up in the Taliban is just fanciful.
Yeah, and it's certainly not.
$30 million.
And it's not going to go for any gender equity in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. Now, what we'll end up doing, it'd be you going to terrorists just like we did with Iran and letting them have all the money we took when they took over our embassy when Obama turned it loose. Now,
of course it will.
The other thing is that you point out that Biden's worldview on climate change, and if we just get ourselves right, either the rest of the world will get along, or just by us being neat and clean, we will make the world environment better.
And here, look, even the United States government says, okay, we recognize that you need some oil and gas as a bridge to the future. That's very kind of them to acknowledge that. And they said, well, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, look, there is no oil or gas infrastructure project that pays off in 4 or 5 years. When you invest in oil and gas infrastructure, like a pipeline or something, that's a 30-year investment. So if you're telling the marketplace that I only want oil and gas for 5 years, you're basically telling them don't build anything because nobody's going to spend money on that.
But see, they're using that as a weapon, and they're making points with some on the left say, see, we're going to open up these oil and land leases and so forth. I'm ordering many of them. But the oil companies and so forth, like I said, why am I going to put dollars into a hole that may or may not have oil and gas anyway, and then you plan on shutting us entirely down later?
Exactly. And this notion that somehow if we increase the price of oil and gas, that'll just speed the conversion to renewable energies, that's not working out so well. I mean, look at Texas, which made a huge investment, foolish, I would say, in renewable energies. And what's happened? When the weather got hot and the energy prices spiked, what happened? Yeah. You had blackouts and brownouts in Texas.
And then when it got cold, the power windmills froze up. So both of them,
exactly.
They had both problems. And that is my native state, so I'm very ticked off because a lot is being, we got blue, Austin has become blue, which is a capital, and that has already upset me. But what you're pointing out here is that global climate, first of all, I read a report earlier today, and I'm sure you've seen it too, some well-known environmentalist says the climate's not changing that much, hasn't for the last 300 plus years.
So first of all, wind and solar are the only industries that get subsidies, regardless of they actually deliver any product.
Right.
They get money, and to your point, I'll tell you what. Let's assume that all these radical models, the most pessimistic climate change models, are actually correct, and even though we know they're not, we know that they're fat. And we know that they just tweak them so they deliver outrageous outcomes. Everybody will, jump on board the climate change. So let's assume that they were actually correct, which they're not. If we did everything Joe Biden and John Kerry want, if the entire world adapted their policies and we got to net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050, which is their goal, it would have almost no effect on the temperature of the Earth.
Well,
so basically, they want to impoverish the entire planet, and the actual outcome they will deliver is nothing.
Well, but, of course, they will be able to fly their jets, which emit 150,000 tons, to go to the Fed summit meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and fly all over the world, as opposed to taking any passenger plane. So they will be doing their part, at least, in protecting themselves.
Well, this is the magic of being a leftist. It's all about empathy. As long as you feel bad about something and then pretend to do something about it, it's like, it's like going to Catholic mass. You're absolved of all your sins. So,
and you're a Catholic, right? I want to point that out.
If you want to defund the police for the right reasons, it doesn't matter if it increases crime.
Okay.
If you want to have open borders, it doesn't matter if it impoverishes communities and takes away resources from homeless people. As long as you felt,
Yeah, as long as it's not your community. James, always, we appreciate it. And I guess maybe the next thing is just have Mama kiss the hurt and things will be better. Kiss my boo-boo.
Laughing in the face of adversity always helps. Thank you, my friend.
James J. Carafano with Heritage Foundation. Coming up, Black Lives Matter called to task by the widow of a black former police officer. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador. Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
Got me waking, boy, man. Waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water. That you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Yeah, we were talking at the end of that interview with James Carafano, James J. Carafano of the Heritage Foundation, about this Fed meeting that's going to take place at Jackson Hole, Wyoming. When you got all the big money guys going into Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and they're all flying in their private jets, that would include even John Kerry will probably show up. We know Bill Gates and others, and Spielberg might well show up. I told you yesterday he's got a big G600 Challenger jet, Gulfstream, I should say, and it burns 150 tons of emissions compared to your normal emission might amount to 4 tons a year. I don't have the stats in front of me, so if I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. I don't have the exact numbers, but you get the idea that they all think that they are doing just fine because they can do what they want, and you have to do what they tell you to. And Jim pointed out something that's very clear, too, that for the many on the left, if they can invoke empathy to get you to feel sorry about something, and maybe even guilty, they've won. Now, they may not feel guilty or even sorry, but they'll take advantage of it. From time to time, the surface collection call agencies, not collection call agencies, but you'll get, quote, charitable donation groups calling you, random phone number, you don't know how they got your number, and identify as being linked with a police association or deceased members and helping widows, and will you give some money to help the police? And, of course, you want to help, but at the same time, is the money going to go to what they say it is? Or is it going anywhere near what they say it is? You got to be real careful nowadays, because there are those on the left and there are those on the right that will bilk you out of money for something they're not going to deliver on. But they're playing on your empathy, and they know how to touch the certain points that will have you reach for either your checkbook or give your credit card number to them. BLM is a perfect example. Black Lives Matter, perfect name, came out. All Black Lives Matter. Well, in my opinion, all lives matter. All lives. And to the BLM members, does that include black unborn babies? I mean, keep in mind how many black babies have been aborted by black women because they were convinced this is what you should be doing. And now they want to go stand out there. They got Congresswoman Maxine Waters out there saying, we will be in the street. Our black bodies will be out there and demanding that you change this abortion ruling from the Supreme Court. What, so you can kill more black babies? I thought Black Lives Matter. Do they or do they not? Those in the St. Louis area are familiar with the story of St. Louis police captain David Dorn and his wife Ann Dorn. Now, let me point something out, and I don't do it to show anything other than the fact and maybe give you a reset for some who are kind of lost on all this. David Dorn and his wife served in the police department at different times and at one time together, and David is a black man, was a black man. She is a white woman. They were together for something like 30 years, married 14 years. He got gunned down, of course, June 2020 at the height of the Black Lives Matter riots. They did a number of Democrat-run cities, and that would include St. Louis City. She wrote a piece that I want to read to you. She said, David retired from the police force, but he never retired from serving his community. And for a friend who has a pawn shop in that area that was being rioted, the alarm went off just 10 minutes from us. He said, I'll go take care of it. So he went down there to try to do what he can to protect. He already knew rioters were shooting at firefighters and police officers. But he did it. He said, she said he arrived on the scene. Rioters inside the store. He asked them to leave, and for that he got killed. He told one of them, there's nothing in here really worth stealing and getting yourself in trouble. And she said, then we have people like billionaire George Soros who use their power and influence to promote extremist politics and flames of division. They get people like VP Harris raising money for rioters' bail funds, CEOs of prominent companies who blindly gave their support and money to BLM, not even knowing what it was, not even understanding it was founded by Marxists, admitted Marxists, and claiming that's exactly what they wanted to do. And then when they got the money they want, they take the money and they go buy multi-million dollar homes, a $40,000 guard dog that they later, one of them later gave back. I mean, the money, it did not go to the people that were being affected. And she pointed out, if you really are concerned about Black Lives Matter, as she said, there are bad cops out there, but addressing bad policing is what you do, not all police. And, of course, the point that she really made, the same year my husband was killed, over a dozen children shot in St. Louis. And never once, and this is a fact I'll back up, never once did Black Lives Matter show up. The lives of those children didn't matter. The Black Lives children. No children's lives matter, according to this group. And Black Lives Matter only if it involved a police officer shooting them, even if the officer is black. Saving his life from violence, that didn't matter. I've got more to do. I don't have time on it. We're going to focus on Dr. Fake coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.